Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio, and with me is Kyle Lamb. Now, this is the first episode of Truth and Circumstances you've ever listened to. Then what you just heard won't sound kind of strange. Others of you will be wondering what on earth is going on. Today we're doing something a bit different. We're doing a podcaster profile on Kyle Lamb. I want everybody to know, everybody that listens to this podcast to know a little bit more about you, Kyle Lamb. And you're okay with this?
Yeah, I might cry though.
Okay. Well, I'll try not to make you cry. I'm going to ask you some questions, but hopefully they won't be too difficult. So I think it's important for folks to know who they're listening to. And having been at Providence as long as I have and being up in front of everybody, I'm kind of a known quantity, but not everybody knows a whole lot about you. And so I want them to know more about you. But then on top of that, I love your testimony, how you came to know the Lord, and it's always encouraging to me to hear other people tell how they came to know the Lord, and I think it would be wonderful for people to hear this story. So if you're cool with that, I think that's what I want to talk about today.
I have no problem with that.
Okay. So why don't you just start out by telling a little bit about your upbringing, kind of your religious background?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I grew up in church. I went to it's actually a family church, a Pentecostal.
You know, let me stop you right there.
Yeah.
Before you do that.
Yeah.
Sorry. You're married. Let's start there.
Yeah, I am.
Your wife's name is?
Ashley.
Yes. And y'all are about to have a child.
Oh, yeah. Any day. Well, I should say any day, any week.
Any week.
Yeah. So our due date's June 2nd, but I hear that the first pregnancy, they usually come late. So I'm expecting mid-June, but
okay,
of course, anytime now.
Okay. And you know what you're having.
Yeah, we're having a little girl.
Having a little girl.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Really excited.
That's really, really good.
Yeah.
And you're also, so people may not know this about you, but you're a genius. You're a professional genius.
I've been working on my IQ for a long time. Yeah, I'm a genius at the Apple Store, which is different.
At the Apple Store, yeah.
Yeah, I repair computers, troubleshoot computers, and phones, but yeah, that's pretty much all it means. It has nothing to do with my IQ.
Well, every time you talk about being a genius, it makes me laugh.
Because yeah,
I hear it in the normal context. But, you know, when Ethan, who used to be the lead genius,
yeah,
but then he got promoted to manager, it just seems like a demotion.
I consider it a demotion, actually.
Yeah, yeah. He should be like the supreme uber genius
now
or something.
I agree.
I feel bad for him.
Me too.
Okay, back to your childhood.
Yeah, so I grew up in a family Pentecostal church. I am very thankful for the church. Main reason is the most vivid memory, the thing I remember most about being at the church is every Sunday thinking, I'm going to hell. And that, I mean that in a good way. I knew I was going to hell, and I knew what the remedy was. It was Christ, Jesus. I wanted nothing to do with him. And in fact, I remember trying to mess up my dad's alarm clock so that I didn't have to go to church. Somehow, I think what I did is I turned it off and just turned it right back on every time without realizing it, thinking if you did a little switch two or three times.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is the thing I remember most about that church.
You just said something really weird. You said you knew you were going to hell and you knew what the remedy was, but it was Jesus, but you didn't want anything to do with him. Why didn't you just get saved?
Yeah. That's a good question, especially when you're young, because maybe you can think as an adult, oh, you know, I don't want to give up this and this and this. As a kid, I just wanted nothing to do with God.
You weren't drawn to Jesus in any way?
Not at all. I remember relief after church service. I just was running. That led all the way up through high school.
That sounds like, now I don't want to plant reformed overtones onto this.
Yeah.
But how can you explain that other than just a hard, unregenerate heart.
Right.
You know you're going to hell. You know the remedy.
Yep.
But you don't want anything to do with the remedy.
Nothing. Yeah.
It's just rebellion.
Yeah. That's all it is. It was, definitely, without a doubt.
So you continue to go to church like through your upbringing into high school and stuff?
Yeah. When I turned 16 is when I stopped going. That was around my high school years, in the middle of my high school years, actually. So, yeah, all the way growing up, always went to church, knew biblical themes, and I knew the stories, continued rebellious behavior. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then somewhere in the high school years, you had an event that took place that was kind of important in all of this.
Yeah, yeah.
What happened?
So my senior year, I started lifting with my uncle, lifting weights. And one day he wasn't there, and I was using some machine improperly. And I ended up herniating a disc in my spine.
Can you tell us what the machine was?
It's a, I think they call it a toe-up machine. Yes. And
it's the last machine on earth I would think that somebody would herniate a disc. Seriously, I've seen this machine. I know what machine you're talking about. This is at the Y in Springboro, right?
Yep. Yeah, it was that Y. Exactly.
Now, in your defense, I mean, this it's not obvious how this machine is supposed to be used.
That's true.
Yeah, but every time I see it, I think of you, and I think, that should have a plaque on it. With
yeah,
Kyle's
it should,
name.
Yep.
Yeah,
yeah I had the lever in to stop the weight from falling, and I was just doing quick bursts, and the lever had fallen forward, the lever that holds the weight up, so I relaxed my back, and just all the weight just crunched down on my back, and I had to arch it to get the weight off. And that's, yeah, I herniated my disc. I had severe pain in my left leg from, I forget what the nerve's called for some reason right now.
So did you, like, crawl out? I mean, what was that like?
I felt like an old man. I was just walking out kind of hunched over. You know, I didn't have the pain immediately in my leg. It was when I bent my neck to get into my car, like, a day or two after. I think that just set it over the edge.
Okay.
And that nerve was pinched severely. Sciatica, that's what it's called.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're like 17, 18 at the time?
I was 18.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, what role did that play in the coming events spiritually?
Yeah, so I hung out with a group of guys who probably weren't a good influence. I know they weren't a good influence on me. They were not good friends throughout this time of the pain that I was enduring. And I just remember I was hitting rock bottom. I found myself very annoyed with these guys. Just when you have pain, you just start. It's weird how it weeds out annoying. You know, I just was like, I'm just going to spend more time at home.
So were they like just thinking you needed to walk it off or something?
They're like, you're not that much pain. I'm like, yes, I am. And they're like, no, you're not.
Yeah, that does not ingratiate you to people.
No,
your pain. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. So. I really hit a point of, I guess you could call it rock bottom. I'm sure people have hit rock bottom harder than I did, but just a time where I started to reevaluate a lot of things in my life. One of them, the immediate one, like I said, my friends. And I spent more time at home. Now, that gave me a lot of time to think. On top of that, though, there was a very weird experience I had, and people are probably going to think I made this up, but I didn't, I promise. Growing up, I had gotten into drug use, one of them being psychedelic drugs. And I remember I was very arrogant, and I was telling this one guy he needed to stick with me. Well, I ended up like just nightmarish, freaking out. And I remember thinking I was in the new heavens and a new earth. My pain in my leg had gone away, which added to the kind of, you know, confusion that I was experiencing, because I guess the drugs were having such an effect on me that I didn't feel the pain. And this one guy there, I kept telling him he was Jesus, and he was running away from me. And I yelled at him as he was going up the stairs. I said, you need to stop running from the truth.
You're Jesus. And you can't get away from it.
And I had a friend who was wearing a red Carhartt, and I remember thinking he was like satanic. And I passed out, and I woke up, and I had my eyes closed. I felt very alone, and I was like, this must be what it feels like to be in hell. And at this point, I was kind of coming out of this experience, But it's weird. Leaving that day, I didn't start thinking about spiritual matters anymore, so to say. But that the rock bottom I was hitting, that experience, I started spending more time alone, and that really had a big impact on me, to the point where the Lord was breaking me away from mm-hmm. things.
So it's taking things away from you. Would you say it that way?
Yeah, okay. Taking things away from me. And I had a good friend who I'd grown up with, my good friend Matt Walker, if he ever listens to this. He was a believer, a very good influence on me growing up. He always invited me to church, and he'd always give me a hard time, too, about things I was doing, which I needed. And I remember I went to his house. He had become a firefighter. We were just got out of high school, I think, at this point. And no, actually, we were still in high school. He'd gotten out of high school. He became a firefighter. He had his own place. And he just was talking about the blessings that God had given him. And that didn't really impact me that much either. I didn't really think much about it. But I went home that night, and as I was sitting on my futon bed, I was converted just in an instant.
Just sitting there.
Yes.
Now, there will be people wondering, like, did you say a prayer?
Yeah, no.
No? You didn't pray a prayer. So how do you know that you were converted? Like, what would you point to say that, yeah, that was the night that sure. something happened?
Yeah, I don't think I entirely knew in that moment that I had been converted, but immediately at that, I was just sitting on my bed, an immediate feeling arose in me to delete all this music I had stolen through I don't forget what the program's called, but I stole all this music, and I even hesitated a little bit because I knew there was some Christian music on there, and it was weird that I stopped there, and I said, should I delete this? And I was like, no, it was stolen too. I need to delete it. So I deleted all that music. The next day, I actually went and I drank with my friends, but I just remember thinking, I don't ever want to do this again. And I was YouTubing like Christian videos, just watching them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what they were, but it was the change in behavior, the change in heart that I had, looking back a few weeks after that, realizing something big has happened to me.
Yeah.
And the really definitive moment that I knew, okay, God has saved me, was I was in my car driving home one evening, and I listened. My dad had this Christian CD we listened to growing up by John Elefante. There was a song called Windows of Heaven, and it was part nostalgia of being a kid, but also those lyrics had a sway on me in that moment where I just couldn't, just over and over in my head, I just, as if God was telling me, you are mine, you are mine, you are mine. And I just remember just being overcome by the Holy Spirit and just crying in my car. And I think I knew I was a Christian before then, but that was like the one thing that really sealed the deal for mm-hmm. me, that I knew God had saved me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just you had a radical change in desires.
Yes.
Okay. That just can't be explained
no.
by a mere willpower kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, again, I wasn't thinking about Christian things. You know, sometimes you hear people I was just thinking about God all the time, and somebody was sharing the gospel with me, and it really struck my heart. I had heard the gospel growing up, so I mm-hmm. knew it. It just, my friend said, you know, God's really blessed me with all these things, and I didn't leave there being like, God, yeah, I need to think about God more. I went home and just was converted.
Yeah.
Right in my bed.
This is like makes me think of John 3. So we're Nicodemus is asking Jesus about stuff, and Jesus starts talking about being born again, and that conversion is a domain of the Spirit, and you don't know when it happens or how it happens, but it right. happens. And it also reminds me of Paul's conversion too, where the Lord just claimed him. You know, he was not seeking to do anything but to be evil. Paul wasn't, and the Lord just claimed his life. So everybody has a different conversion story, and there's many different ways that the Lord uses to bring people to himself. But you had heard the gospel all mm-hmm. growing up.
Yeah.
But it's at that point that the Lord flipped the switch and claimed you and regenerated you and gave you faith. And began to change everything about you. So you had talked about drugs a little bit.
Yeah.
So was that kind of a struggle getting away from that?
So I smoked marijuana every single day in my high school years. And that point of conversion on my bed, I haven't smoked it since the day before that, I think. So it wasn't actually.
Yeah.
And the Lord completely took away those desires. I'm sure, I mean, if I had walked into a room where people were smoking marijuana shortly after being converted, right. I'm sure feelings would arise in my mind. But, you know, when you're converted, your desires are not always, they don't always necessarily go away. They're replaced right. with greater desires.
Yeah.
And I had a strong desire to follow God and give my life to Him
yeah.
at that point.
So I've heard that kind of thing before, somebody being converted and then those kinds of enslaving sins falling away.
Yeah.
Other people have a different experience where they have different desires, but it's more of a struggle to get rid of them. So,
sure.
you know, we don't want to put the idea out there that your experience is this is how you know if you're saved, if
right.
all your sins fall away and all your
right.
sinful desires fall away. But for you, in that those areas that the Lord gave you freedom.
He did. And I think
very quickly.
Especially because he kept me away from a lot of things too. And I'm sure some people's continued struggles even after
yeah.
conversion comes from being around many of the same temptations. You know, I could totally have seen myself
yeah.
struggling if I hadn't cut off my friendships at that
okay.
point.
All right. So we're about out of time this time.
I want to
turn this into two episodes, and next time I would like to talk about the different means that the Lord used to help you grow in those early days
yeah.
and since then. So
awesome.
That's what we'll talk about next time.
Looking forward to
All
it.
Right.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.